heard about a man in Asia who was caught in a terrible storm. He promised God to sacrifice 20 oxen if he survived. As the storm quieted, he thought, well, why be so foolish to give oxen? Why not nuts instead? But on the way to offer the nuts, he became hungry and ate the nuts. He ended up offering the empty shells as his sacrifice. Empty lives and empty promises seem to go hand in hand. Some people really don't feel Thanksgiving. They don't feel like they have things to be thankful for. And so Thanksgiving seems to be a foreign concept to them. This might be your one and only opportunity for me to quote Bart Simpson in a sermon. Some of us, whether we admit it or not, are a little like Bart. In one episode of The Simpsons, young Bart sits down with his family to a meal, and when it's his turn to pray and give thanks, he says something to this effect: "Lord, my dad earned the money to pay for this food, and my mom worked for hours to cook it. What did you do? Thanks a lot for nothing." How sad. But that's the way many people today think. Many people really don't give a lot of thought to the very basic everyday things that we should be thankful for. Amen. Turn with me in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's get a little God perspective on this today. And because it's a lengthy passage, I'll forego with the standing for the reading of the word today, because I'm going to read several verses. So I'll let you remain seated today. Beginning in the first verse, Deuteronomy chapter 8. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that you may make known that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and figs and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiplied, and when all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the land. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father, help us to remember today all of your blessings in our life. Help us to fix our gaze on what you have done for us, what you are doing for us, and not the few things that we seem to lack or seem to be troubling us today. Father, help us to remember where we've come from and where we are. Help us to remember how you've rescued us and delivered us and set us free in the past. Help us, Father God, today to be grateful and to give all credit and all glory to you for the many blessings, Father, upon our life. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see here from Deuteronomy 8 that God does want to bless you. That's okay. I grew up in an era where that was kind of questionable, whether, you know, you should expect God to bless you or not bless you, like that was maybe some tragedy or that was some evil, wicked desire that needed to be squashed on the inside of you somehow. Yet I don't believe it's an ungodly desire to want and pursue a better life with better results. I mean, isn't that kind of just being a human being, that you want things to be better? Where did that drive come from? Where did that desire come from? But it is wrong to be covetous, to be greedy for material wealth. You cannot serve God and money. It's wrong to be selfish. It's wrong not to give credit where credit is due, because James chapter 1 verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, there's no shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures." So every good thing in your life, every good thing in my life, according to this scripture, comes from God. And God doesn't change. He's not like the shifting shadow. That's the one thing that I depend on, is the dependability of God. That I know who God is. I know what he will do. I know what he won't do. Come on. He's not one way one day and another way another day. He's not like you. God's not moody. God doesn't have a bad day. God doesn't just do something to you because you irritated him. Every good and perfect gift in your life comes from God, and it's not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon his goodness. He is a good, good father. I love that song. So then the question is, why do we fixate on what we don't have instead of what we do have? Why do we obsess over the disappointments of life instead of the manifold blessings of life. What is it about human beings? I mean, let's be honest. We can relate with that guy. Everything looked like it was going pretty well for him, but he couldn't figure out what to be thankful. Can I tell you that contentment makes a thankful heart? We used this last week, and so we're going to dovetail it back in together, but Hebrews 13. And I want to read from I think it's NIV, but you can look it up. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we with confidence can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now guys, anxiety, fear, doubt, whatever attacks me like it does you. But one of the things that I do when that comes is I begin to remind myself of the kind of trouble that God has rescued me from in the past. And I ask myself, has God changed? And he has not. So if he's helped me before, he'll help me again, because he said that he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. So I could confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. But that requires me being content in the moment. Can we be content and also desire something better at the same time? I can be content where I am, amen, but also want something better for my life, and you can too. But it's when we get into that place of discontentment that we stop being grateful. And we stop being thankful. And we can only see what God hasn't done. I'm seeing a lot of nodding this morning. I know this isn't a shout down the preacher message. I mean, but I want us to think about truly God has blessed us. And that's okay. That is a very strong desire that we have within us is to better our lives, make life better. Better for our family, make our life better for our children. Come on, somebody. But we don't want to live so discontented that we can't even enjoy today. We can't even enjoy God's blessing. Look with me at Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is kind of a tough book to read, because basically it's talking about the vanity of life, and that most things that we pursue in life really amount to nothing. I mean, think about, have you ever been in like a squabble with somebody and you know you're really upset with them, but you can't really remember why? You just know you're mad and you know they're an enemy. Come on. So much of what we spend so much of our time worried about and working on and working up really is pretty vain. It really amounts to about nothing, right? And so many of the things that stress us out and freak us out really has to do with we're not experiencing all the abundance that we think is due us. But we can move, we can breathe, we ate today. We're going to eat again. We drove in a car. We're going back to a warm house. And in the middle of all this discourse, the writer of Ecclesiastes and all the things that are just so vain and so worthless, he says this in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. For this is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift from God. For he will not dwell unduly in the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joys of his heart. Look at chapter 9, verse 7, Ecclesiastes. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. In other words, you know, put on a smile and dress in happy garments, I guess. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. For that is your portion in life, in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. So what is he saying? Let's learn to enjoy our work. Instead of, you know, tomorrow morning when you wake up, the alarm wakes you up, and you realize that it's Monday and it's time to go to work again. Instead of that being a grumble, instead of that being a complaint, I mean, you really can change your perspective on your life and go, praise the Lord, I have something productive to do with my life and a way to make money to provide for my family. Amen. Enjoy your work. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the God who created you, and someday will judge you. I go to this so often because it helps reboot me. But in the 1500s, the church fathers got together because the church was adrift, even doctrinally, about what do we really believe and what is the fundamental beliefs of being a Christ follower. And they wrote this document called the Westminster Catechism. The very first question of the Westminster Catechism: what is the chief end of man? We wouldn't say it that way. We'd say, why did you put us here? What is the purpose? What is the meaning of life? What is the chief end of man? And I love the answer. The answer to the first question, what is the chief end of man? It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. For what today, I'm asking you, are you thankful? You didn't know when you came in today this was going to be such an interactive message. But there's only so many ways I can tell you to be grateful and thankful today and stop being an ingrate. All right. So what I would like for you to do for a few moments, I want you just to think about 1, 2, 3 at the most, very specific things right now for which you are thankful. All right, kind of give me a little nod, a knowing nod when you've got something, okay? All right, I apologize that it's a little warm in here, but when we come in, it's cold, and we turn the heat on just to knock the chill out, and then we shut it off almost immediately, and it's just when the warm bodies get in here, it's warm. But I'm grateful that I'm warm, not cold. Amen. All right. Have you got 1 or 2 or 3 things for which you're grateful? Would you just begin to share those with people around you right now? The things for which you're grateful? I probably don't want to know what they're grateful for on the front row. They're getting too much amusement out of this little exercise. How many of you have like inside family jokes in your family? I mean, like no one else would think is funny. When you try to tell the story to somebody else, they just like, and you're just like laughing hilariously, and they're going, oh, yeah. Guess you had to be there, huh? You know, Lane's special friend Mackenzie's here. I remember she was driving home on this trip, and we were getting ready to get off a long drive, and we're hitting the I-35 ramp to get off onto 36 Highway at Cameron. And I'm telling you, the woman took that ramp doing about 70. It seemed like to me. She almost missed it. And I was like sound asleep, like in the front seat. And as she's like, you know, stomping on the brake and sliding up the ramp, I just started going, oh, 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 oh. And so almost every time after months of not seeing her, that's about the way she greets me, you know. So I'm grateful that everyone can find amusement at my expense in the family. Come on, if you're the dad, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you are like free game. Mom is, you know, a sacred, holy treasure to be revered and protected and guarded at all cost. But dad's free game. How did that come about? So let me ask you, give me some common themes of our thankfulness today. Family, health, salvation, pets. Just like having joy and happiness, peace in your life. Anything else? I didn't have pets on my list, so I'm so sorry. Well, thank you very much for that. Shelter. And church family. Amen. Isn't it amazing that I already wrote down pretty much in a general category what you were thankful for? Faith, family, friends, health, peace, love, joy, hope of eternal life, God's purposes. Pets. I mean, you added some. But isn't that kind of fascinating? And the things that we're stressed out about, the things that we're troubled by, the things that really bother us, that dominate so much of our thinking and so much of our time, doesn't make our list of things for which we're grateful. I'm very grateful that we live in a country that recognizes the need for us to take a moment every year and just be reminded that God has blessed us. I mean, truly, we live in a place, I mean, just if you want to think about material and financial blessing, think about a country that pauses every year to give credit where credit is due. And how God has honored that. And God has blessed us. That God has really blessed our country. And blessed us individually. If you do any international traveling at all, And we have some international people here today, and it's no slam on anybody, but I'm just saying you're so grateful. And you're just almost like overwhelmed by, why is it that I was born here and not somewhere else in the world? And so would you just bow your head and close your eyes, please, this morning? And just begin to give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy. Just begin to thank the Lord for those blessings that you shared with other people. And I don't want to minimize anybody's trouble today. I don't want to minimize anybody's situation. But God is good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So here's the thing. There are people in the room right now that have real troubles and real situations. But we have a whole list of things that Deuteronomy said that God had done for His people in the past and probably then would be willing to do again. He rescued them and delivered them from their captivity. He set them free from being slaves. He brought healing and health to their bodies. Strength to their bodies. He delivered them from enemies, you know, human and otherwise. When it was impossible that they could even feed themselves or find even water to drink, God supernaturally fed them and gave them something to drink and caused their clothes not even to wear out, or even the shoes on their feet, because there was no way for them to replace them in their circumstance. So just with people being respectful to one another right now, it just seems good that we should give God an opportunity to rescue and deliver people right now. Amen. So if you're actually suffering in your body right now, health-wise, and you would appreciate receiving the prayer of faith for your situation so that God could possibly do something to alleviate your suffering right now. Could I just see your hand so that I could pray for you? All right. So just kind of, instead of me coming and laying hands on everyone right now, why don't you just kind of wrap your arms around yourself a little bit right now? And let's give God a chance to be God. My part's the believing part. Your part's the believing part. Your part's the trusting part. God's part is the healing part. God's the delivering part. God's the power part of this. We're the conduit. We're the vehicle, as it were. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for these, Father, right now that raised their hands towards You. Said that they were suffering in their bodies. Pain, disease, illness. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command You to be gone from these bodies right now. And we speak to You the healing power of God from the top of your head to the soles of your feet right now. Be free, be healthy, be whole. In the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. We confess today that Jesus is our healer. That our God is the God who heals us and removes sickness and disease from us. So be healthy, whole, and free right now in Jesus' name. Amen.